Kitty Hawk, North Carolina. I believe the date was somewhere around 1903. Orville and Wilbur Wright had been working diligently on their flying machine. And in December of that year, they were successful in flying. They wrote back to their sister in Ohio and said, "We flew 120 feet. We'll be home for Christmas." Excitedly, their sister Catherine took that to the editor of the newspaper. When he saw the telegram, all he saw was that the boys would be home for Christmas. "How nice," he remarked, and went about his business. And he missed the big news. How easy it is for us in the midst of a busy holiday season to miss the big news. To be so overcome with so many other details in life that the thing that we're here to celebrate gets sidelined, gets pushed aside. Sometimes we can become very distracted by other important things. Sometimes it's a hurt. Sometimes it's a disappointment that becomes so overburdening that we become consumed by something else. And we miss the big news. When musicians want to change the tone of a musical piece, there are a number of things that they can do to accomplish that. They can do it by the rhythm. They can change the melody line. One thing that musicians often do as they're composing music is to change the key. Going from a major key to a minor key can simply be done by moving the third in a chord down a half step. And that major chord that is bright and positive and cheery and can be very exciting can be turned into reflect something that is characteristic of a hurt, of a disappointment. A minor key can communicate a pensive mood, a reflective mood. It can communicate something that is anticipated, something that hasn't been realized quite yet. Song that we sang this morning, or this evening, O Come, Emmanuel, is one such hymn. If you look at the time signature, or the key signature, you'd say, well, this is written in the key of G. But it has that third that is lower, just a half step. It's reflective of that kind of anticipation that we're not there yet. There are a number of titles for the Lord Jesus. Each verse, each of the five verses in this hymn, begin with one of the titles. Emmanuel is one. Rod of Jesse, Dayspring, Key of David, Desire of Nations. These are all different titles for the Lord Jesus. The fourth verse reads this way. O come, thou key of David, come and open wide our heavenly home. Make safe the way that leads on high and close the path to misery. The fifth verse. O come, desire of nations, bind all peoples in one heart and mind. Bid envy, strife, and quarrels cease. Fill all the world with heaven's peace. And there's that anticipation of, we're not there yet. We haven't experienced this kind of peace, this kind of community, this kind of heavenly home. But the chorus reminds us of something that is going to happen. It beckons us to rejoice, rejoice. Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. There is an expectation that God would send Emmanuel all the way back to the beginning of the Bible. 4,000 years before Jesus came on planet Earth, there was the promise, there was the expectation that God was going to redeem fallen mankind. We didn't know how that was going to take place, but there was that hope, there was that expectation. It was written in a minor key. 2,000 years from the time Adam and Eve were on planet Earth, Abraham was on planet Earth. And to that man, God promised through his seed to bring this one who would redeem. But again, it was written in a minor key. There's not a sense of fulfillment. It hasn't happened yet. There's an anticipation, but it's yet to be realized. And then another 1,000 years, and we come to the time of David. David was promised by the Lord. Yes, there would be one coming through your seed, and he would sit on your throne, David. But again, it was written in a minor key. Then, there was, at that first Christmas, the advent of God incarnate in the flesh in the person of Jesus. Jesus the Nazarene. And that quiet, melodic, minor key was raised in the third. It wasn't loud. It wasn't triumphant. But the tone of the music changed. In the book of Matthew, we read the familiar story of the incarnation. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Did you see the mistake in what I just read? Did you hear it? The angel told Joseph to name the child Jesus. And then Joseph named him Jesus. But this was in fulfillment of the prophecy by Isaiah that said, his name shall be called Emmanuel. So why didn't Joseph call his name Emmanuel? Why did he call him Jesus? Well, the explanation is really rather simple. His name is Jesus, or in the Hebrew, Yeshua. We get our English word Joseph from this Hebrew word. Jesus means Yahweh saves. Now that's his name, but he has many titles. Many titles. Emmanuel is one of those titles. It's not technically a name, but we use the name, or we use the titles for Jesus as a name oftentimes. For example, we call him Jesus Christ. Christ is not his last name. It's a title, but we use it like a name. The word Christ comes from the Greek word Christos, and it's simply drug from the Greek language into the English language. The word Messiah is English for the Hebrew Mashiach, which is a translation of the word Christos. The word Messiah, the word Christ, are simply drug into our English language. Translated, both of those words mean the Anointed One. Jesus is the Anointed One, and his title is the Christ, the Messiah. We often use that as a part of his name. Similarly, when Paul in the book of Philippians says of Jesus, God highly exalted him, bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee would bow of those who are in heaven and those under the earth, and that every tongue would confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. What is the name which is above every name? Is it Jesus? No. It's the word Lord. Lord is a title. It's not a name per se, but we use it often as a name. In the same way, the word Emmanuel is a title. So Joseph wasn't incorrect to name Jesus Jesus, and Isaiah, the prophet, wasn't wrong to say his name shall be called Emmanuel. Yes, his name is Emmanuel. It is Jesus. Technically, Emmanuel is his title. It means God with us. He is the one who is a part of our life. We don't have to fear. God is with us. We don't have to doubt. God is with us. This this title, this this name, if you will, is frequently used of Jesus, particularly at Christmas time. One of the hymns that we sang this morning, this evening, I keep doing that. O little town of Bethlehem. So the third verse reads this way. How silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessing of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him, still the dear Christ enters in. It's in the very next verse that Jesus is called Emmanuel, God with us. Here's how the verse reads. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sins and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. O come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. That third verse is telling. It speaks of the wondrous gift of heaven, how it is given to us in Christ, in Emmanuel. He imparts that gift to everyone, the blessing of his heaven. Everyone who receives him with meekness. The last of the third verse, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. It is to those who are meek. Meekness does not equal weakness. It equals humility. It equals a repentant heart. It reveals a heart that has stooped low to enter into the presence of Christ. It reveals a person who has submitted to Christ. This is the meek soul. To that one, the dear Christ enters in. In his commentary on Matthew chapter 1, commentator Albert Barnes wrote this brief poem. Till God in human flesh I see, my thoughts no comfort find. The holy, just, and sacred three are terror to my mind. Let me read that last phrase again. The holy, just, and sacred three are terror to my mind. Sometimes when we think about Christmas and we picture manger scenes, we think of Christ as a baby, and other than babies making baby noises and crying because they need a diaper change or because they're hungry, they don't demand a lot. This baby demands a lot. This baby demands that we believe. We believe in him. This baby demands that we repent of our sin, that we long for the Savior more than our sin. This baby demands that we come to him in abject humility. And so when Barnes writes of the Trinity that it brings terror to his mind, he recognizes that God, in his transcendence, in his otherness, in his heavenliness, he is holy, he is just, he is perfect, and I am not. I deserve his justice. Let me begin his poem again. Till God in human flesh I see, my thoughts no comfort find. The holy, just, and sacred three are terror to my mind. But if Emmanuel's face appears, my hope, my joy begins. His grace removes my slavish fears. His blood removes my sin. It's the very presence of Emmanuel that moves the third in that chord from a minor to a major. It's the presence of Emmanuel, God with us, that is the big news. Father, we thank you for this season. We thank you for the reminder of who you are and how you came to be. Find in us humble hearts that look to honor you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.